Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege to call upon the one true and living God and to be able to say our Father, to know Thee not only as the Creator of heaven and earth, not only as the one who created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but the one who not only spoke this world into existence, but the one who's going to bring it to a close. But more wonderful, we're thankful that You're our Heavenly Father. We're thankful that You loved us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful, Jesus, for You coming into the world, and we thank You for all the blessings that we have today as a result of Jesus coming down into the earth. We're thankful that He established His church in the earth and He's given us the promise that the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. So we're thankful for the confidence that we have in the continuation of Thy church in the earth. And we pray that You would help each of us individually. We might live in such a way and conduct ourselves in such a way that we could be a part of Thy church in the earth. And we pray also that You would help us to realize what a great blessing we have to be a part of the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children as they live here in this world. And we pray that You would help us, Lord, every day of our lives, that we would walk, as we've just sung, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, we know that when we follow Your word and we follow Your way, we do find great joy and peace floods our soul. We pray that You would help us to overcome all of the obstacles and the temptations of Satan, and that You would help us to trust and obey and follow Your word each day of our lives. We're thankful for every person that's here tonight. We thank You for this special occasion where we'll have the baptismal service of Brother Rance. We're thankful for his life. We thank You for the Spirit of God that we see radiating from Brother Rance's life. We thank You for all of his family that's here tonight and pray that You would bless each of them and their families respectively. And we pray that You would bless this church body, that we might be fitly framed together to Thy name's honor and glory. Bless again now as we try to study Thy word. We pray that You would bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician, that Thou hast all power, and that You're able to touch and heal and lift up. We ask You in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bless those who have had surgery to have a speedy recovery. Bless those that are facing surgery during this coming week. Bless them and bless the doctors as they perform the work, and all the nurses and all those that wait upon them, that they would take very special care. And above all, we ask that You, as the great physician, would restore them to their health, and all the others that are sick and have other kinds of problems and troubles. You know the needs of each person here. We don't acquaint Thee with anything. You've known from even before the foundation of the world. You've known every problem that we would ever have. And we're thankful that Thou hast promised that Thou would never leave us nor forsake us. So help us to just feel Your presence with us so that we can say with David of old, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Bless us to feel Thy presence in this worship hour, in the baptismal service to follow, and in the coming week. We pray that You would guide and direct us by Thy Spirit every day. Teach us and instruct us now from Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read tonight from Matthew chapter 7. I encourage you to get a Bible. If you don't have your own Bible, there are Bibles there on the pews. And I encourage you to get a Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want to first say, before we begin looking at the Word of God tonight, I want to first emphasize that the Word of God tells us that our eternal salvation is not of our works, it's not by our works, and it's not according to our works. Our works do not get us into the eternal heaven. Please remember that. I'm not going to go to all the Scriptures, but if you need any proof from God's Word to see that our works do not get us into eternal heaven, I'll be glad to give you a list of those Scriptures after the service. And in the very same breath, I would emphasize that works and obedience are important for God's children to have fellowship with God while they live each day. If I'm going to have fellowship with God, if I'm going to have Him to walk with me and talk with me and commune with me, if I'm going to feel Him holding me up, if I'm going to feel His blessings in my life, then it's absolutely essential that I do what He says and that I'm a worker and a laborer to His honor and glory. Matthew chapter 7, I first want to read verse 21, and then we're going to come down to the main thing that's on my heart, which is the passage from 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, one reason that sometimes people think that you have to do a lot of good works to get to heaven is because they don't understand the difference in the kingdom of heaven and the eternal heaven. Entering the eternal heaven is not by our works, but entering the eternal heaven is because of the amazing grace of God and because of the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only reason that any of us are going to be in the eternal heaven when this world is over is because of God and His works in our lives. God sent His Son to save us from our sins, and that's the reason we'll be in heaven when this world is over. And yet God has established the kingdom of heaven, and it's defined in the Word of God, the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, are defined in the Scriptures as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Luke 17, after Jesus and all the apostles had been preaching about the kingdom of heaven and telling everybody about the kingdom of heaven, and by the way, if you go through the Scriptures and look, you'll find that every single New Testament preacher, they all preached about the kingdom of heaven. That was the focus of their preaching, not about dying and going to heaven one day, but about living in the kingdom of heaven right now. And in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Now that's works. To do the will of God, that's when you obey what God says. We just sang that song. I want you to think about the words, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." While we do His good will, what does He do? He abides with us still. Now, see, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's when God comes down and abides and dwells with us, and we can feel His presence right now while we live here in this world. When we die, we're going to go up there to be with Him in the eternal heaven, but right now He comes down and dwells with us in the kingdom of heaven when we are doing what His Word tells us to do. As long as we follow the Word of God, God will bless us to be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God. In fact, on one occasion, after all this preaching had been going on in the days of Christ, we find that the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Where is the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, because they were looking, all the Old Testament prophets had prophesied that when the Messiah came, He was going to establish His kingdom. And Jesus has come now, and they're looking for a kingdom, but they don't see a kingdom because the kind of kingdom they were looking for was a material kingdom, one like King David had, where they ruled and reigned over people. And they saw Jesus as nothing but a pauper and somebody that did not have any kind of kingdom at all. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. He was a poor man. And so they concluded, this cannot be the Christ because He does not have a kingdom. And then when they were questioning Jesus and said, "Where is the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus says, "This kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is within you." You think about that now. That the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is within you. And now Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, not everyone that just says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you want to dwell in the kingdom of heaven, Not talking about going to heaven when you die. But if you want to have God dwell with you here and you want to be in the kingdom of heaven each day, then you have to do the will of the Father. Now come down to verse 24. This is the main passage that's on my heart. Brother Rance, God has given us some promises in this passage of Scripture. He's promised you, and He's promised me, and He's promised every one of us in this building, all of His children everywhere. God has said, if you will do what I'm telling you to do, your house will not fall. I look forward to great things out of Brother Ramps Gill. I look forward to God using him and many of the other young people in this building. I look forward to seeing God use them in great and marvelous ways. But the only way that they will continue to be a part of God's church in the earth, and the only way they will continue to dwell in the kingdom of heaven, and the only thing that will keep their lives from being destroyed by Satan, is if they continue to follow God's holy word. Now that's the passage that's on my heart. Look in your Bibles now, beginning in Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus says, and here's a great promise now. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And by the way, who is that rock? That's Jesus Christ. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. Now watch verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him, or he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, brethren, the Word of God says there are some people who cannot hear the Word of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to some people there, and He says, why do you not understand my speech? And then He says, even because you cannot hear my Word. Until a person has been born of the Spirit of God, they cannot hear the Word of God. But even after we're born again, and we have the ability to hear, we can sit there and hear the Word of God, but never carry out the things He's telling us to do. Have you ever been in church and thought, I'm going to do a lot better in the future, and went right back to the same old ways? Have you ever been in the house of God and made a commitment in your thoughts and in your feelings toward God, God, I'm going to begin to study Your Word, and I'm going to walk closer to what You tell me to do in Your Word. I'm going to be more faithful and more committed and more dedicated in my service to You. And then you find that you just went right back to the same old ways. Now that's those that hear these sayings of mine and do them not. Have we all been guilty of doing that sometimes? That we hear the sayings of God, but we don't do them. And if that is a major part of our lives, that we sit and we hear the Word of God, but we are not doing what God's Word says for us to do, then Jesus says we're like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Brethren, there are a lot of houses that have fallen. That can have reference to an individual's life. There are many children of God that amidst the storms and troubles of life, that their lives have fallen apart because their house was founded upon the sand. The only way that you, Brother Rance, will continue in your service to God, the only way that your life will not be destroyed, is if you're a doer of God's Word. And that's true of every one of us. Yeah, I think it's wonderful, brethren, that God has given us this promise. Your house will not fall. Your house will not fall. My personal house, my family, this church, if we will just do what God says, if we are doers of His Word, if we hear what He says and we do what He says, the rains will still come and the floods will come and the winds will still blow. You will still have problems and troubles in your life, but your house will not fall if you're doing what God tells you to do in your life. I think one of the biggest erroneous doctrines today is that if you love God and you take up your cross and you begin to follow God, then you won't have any more trouble. That's contrary to the teachings of God's Word. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have problems whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, whether you follow Christ or don't follow Christ. You're going to have troubles in this world. But Jesus has given us a promise right here that if you hear what He says and you do what He says, your house will not fall. And that promise is just as certain as the promise that Jesus gives in Matthew 16:18 about His church when He says that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you know that as long as this earth continues, Jesus is going to have a church in this earth? It may not be this church, it may not be any denomination, but I'm telling you, He will always have a people that are standing up for what's right. I believe that there is a remnant in every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe that really want to serve God and follow God and do what God says, and their house will not fall. Doesn't matter how big the storms are, they can look at those storms and they can resist all of the temptations to stop trying and the temptation to just fall away. They will not fall away if they keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Did you know there's some people that have some major troubles in their lives right now? And the only thing that's going to keep them going is if they keep looking to Jesus. Their house has to be founded upon the rock. Anything else and your house will crumble and it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. Go forward toward the end of the New Testament to James chapter 1 and listen to how the words that James records are very similar to the words of Jesus here, as James is emphasizing the importance of the Word of God. I think it's wonderful as you look at James 1:21. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 21, first of all. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Word of God says in James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to..." What are the last three words there? Save your souls. Save your souls. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word. The engrafted Word, brethren, is the Bible, the Word of God. It's the written Word. This is the written Word that is able to save your soul from a lot of hell while you live here in this world. Children of God sometimes err from the truth. And when children of God begin to err from the truth, if they're not converted, their soul can be destroyed. It does not affect their eternal salvation, but their soul is destroyed, their house falls, because they're not following the Word of God. Listen carefully to this. See, this is talking about your soul being saved by doing what the Word of God says. There's a difference in being saved by this Word and being saved by the living Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. And Jesus Christ, who is the living Word, is the one who has saved you from eternal hell to eternal heaven. But this written Word, this engrafted Word, if you'll receive with meekness the engrafted Word, it will save your soul from a lot of hell here in this earth. All of you parents, if you will just follow what God's Word has to say, if you'll raise your children the way the Word of God tells you to raise your children, if you put God first in your life, and if you're an example to them, then you will save your soul. In fact, Matthew 23:13-14 says you can save the soul of your children from a lot of hell here on this earth if you'll spank them. I know that's not a pleasant thing to think about, but that's what God's Word says in Matthew 23:13-14. The Word of God is able to save us from a lot of trouble in our lives. We have to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. Now, sometimes we read the Word of God and we just forget all about what we just read. Have you ever been to church? I periodically, when I see some people in the community and I know who their pastor is, I say, how was service last Sunday? How was the worship service? Oh, it was wonderful. I said, what did your pastor preach about? And have you ever seen a... Well, yeah, that's kind of what it looks like, Brother Neil. Somebody that looks like a deer caught in the headlights. It's just a blank, a big, wide stare sometimes. But now sometimes, and there's a brother that I ask that, and he does this every time. Brother Carl James works with the Sheriff's Department. And every time I see him, I ask him, I say, what did Brother Keith Lloyd, what did he preach about last week? He immediately starts, and I hear the Sunday morning sermon, and then I hear the Sunday night service sermon. He just tells me everything, and he just gets so excited telling me about the Word of God. Now, that's a brother that's sitting there meditating on. When you see a person on Thursday and Friday, and they can immediately go back and start telling you about what they have heard, they have been hearing the Word of God and applying it to their lives, and their house is founded on a rock. And God's well pleased. Now, whenever you sit and you hear the Word of God, and you forget about the Word of God, and you don't even know on Monday morning what the worship service was about on Sunday, you have done exactly what Luke chapter 8 tells us, is that the Word of God is like seed that's sown. And some falls on stony ground, and some among thorns and briars and thistles, and some falls by the wayside, but some of this precious seed falls on good ground, and that falls on good ground will bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. And we have to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. You need to prepare yourself on Saturday to hear the Word of God. You need to get rest on Saturday night. You need to go to bed early. You need to come praying to the house of God. God, feed me with Your Word. Teach me from Your Word. Show me in Your Word what I need to do during this coming week so that my house will keep standing. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not just hear them, but hear them and do them, this man shall be blessed. Come down to verse 25. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Brethren, it's a great blessing to serve the Lord. I think that sometimes we think of it as a burden, but serving God is the greatest blessing we can ever have. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing that God has given us His Holy Word and taught us in His Word. Because the people of God that hear the Word of God and do what God's Word says, their house will not be destroyed. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Jesus said? That if you take the Word of God and you hear it, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, you'll be like a house that's planted upon a rock. And the rains and the winds and the floods are going to come and beat upon that house, but that house will not fall. That's a promise from Jesus. You may not believe what Jesus says, but that's the truth. Go with me in closing to Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, the psalmist tells us the same basic truth about the stability. And that's the thought that's been on my heart today as I've tried to pray about what God would have us to hear tonight in this baptismal service, is the stability that Brother Rance can have in his life, how he can be a solid rock, how he can be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. But that's not only true of him, it's true of every one of us as God's children, that we can be what the Word of God teaches we can be if we'll just hear, believe, and obey God's holy Word. Look in closing at Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, especially verse 2 and 3. Psalm 1, verse 1, the Word of God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, one of the most important things that everybody here needs to do is get away from people that don't love God. If you have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, you're not going to be a doer of God's Word. So he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How often do you meditate on the Word of God? Read the Word of God in the morning. Meditate on the Word. Read it at noon. Meditate on the Word. Read it at night. Meditate on the Word of God. The more you do that, and the more you do what God's Word tells you to do, the more solid your house becomes. And he says in verse 3, he says, and he shall be, the person that does what verses 1 and 2 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe that Brother Rance has been called by God to take up his cross in water baptism. He's responded to that call. And I ask everybody here to understand that as a church body, we're to pray for him every day. And we're to pray for every other member and friend of the church. We're to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to pray that God will help all of us, that we will be a doer of the Word and not only a hearer. May God bless us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.